Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We broke the ISIL siege of Mount Sinjar. We helped vulnerable people reach safety, and we helped save many innocent lives. Because of these efforts, we do not expect there to be an additional operation to evacuate people off the mountain, and it's unlikely that we're going to need to continue humanitarian airdrops on the mountain.
It is a hard day's night dealing with all of these problems. Okay, stop already. Listen. If anyone can confirm that he actually broke the siege and the poor people up there who are being attacked by the Islamo-fascists are all gone and safe, I say he should get two Nobel Prizes. One, for having saved the folks from the Islamo-fascists, and two, for taking at least 30 minutes out from his vacation. I mean, when you think about it, you know, I mean, that's a big give for Obama in the middle of dancing the night away in Martha's Vineyard. With the 1%ers, the 0.1%ers, rather, excuse me. I didn't see any poor, by the way, in the dancing picture. There's a dancing picture of him on the Drudge Report that someone tweeted, a reporter, and then they withdrew it. I think the New Yorker was, who knows, whatever. And I don't see anyone there but 0.1%ers. Did you see any homeless there? Do you see any people with a begging cup? Nah, come on, I'm being facetious, obviously. Now, I'm not going to talk about suicide immediately. But I'm trying not to talk about the Robin Williams story because many of you are just going to want me to do this again, and I can't. But I will say this. The article entitled, Michael Savage Helps Caller Reject Suicide, Blunt Talk Bore Fruit After Neighbor Robin Williams' Death, that WND kindly wrote, has produced donations for Joe. When I checked last night, there was over $2,000 contributed. And I told you I would put $2 for every $1. I don't know where it's at today. We're going to give it a week. You can go to michaelsavage.com and click the button underneath the article. And every dollar that you send, I promise you, not a dime for handling. I'm not, I can't say wallbanger. I do not use it for any purpose other than what you want it for. And what I want to do is this. In the wake of active, blah, 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 you know what I dreamed about last night? I'm still warming up. I'm not really ready for this show. I am not. I don't know how my mind is working, but I had deep dreams that I was in France studying biochemistry and French. Go figure that one out. I don't understand that. The guy was talking to me in French about biochemistry, and I understood him. How fructose breaks down into glyceraldehyde and dihydroxyacetone. Why do I remember these things? Why do I remember how enzymes, for example, hydrolyze acetylcholine into choline? I don't understand why I remember any of this from my biochemistry, nor do I understand why I'm telling you any of this. I know you say he's doing it to sound smart, but I remember this stuff. Because a lot of people think that they know, for example, what gluten is. They're on gluten-free diets, but if you ask them what gluten is, they would go blank on you. They would look like Paris Hilton trying to add a column of three figures. If I said to her, okay, she's taking, for example, she's on a gluten-free diet, I'm giving an example. Or people say, well, no, I eat raw foods because of the enzymes. So really, well, what's an enzyme? I don't know. Describe one enzyme and what it does. I don't know. But I know that global warming is real. I know that white people are racist, etc. You get the picture. A nation of brainwashed nincompoops. So that's why my mind ran back to earlier years when I thought I found the salvation in chemistry, science, structural indexes of various compounds help me escape the world. You know, there's a whole world of biochemistry, for example. You ask anyone who goes into science, many of them will say they love science, and they do, but they also love not having to deal with the world's problems. Do you understand that? And I'm wondering now, looking back on my life, I'm sorry to get into this. Pardon me. I should not do this. Maybe I would have been better off studying the formulae of triglycerides and L-tryptophan and L-tyrosine, memorizing what retinol, vitamin A, looks like. Sleeping and having dreams about uridine triphosphate, imagining myself embracing xanthosine 5-phosphate, Can you imagine if you could control your mind as to what it envisions? Can you imagine the power you'd have? I think I'll go to sleep and dream about L-lactate tonight. No, that's not sexy enough. Let me dream about phosphatidylcholine. That would be a hot one. Yeah, I want to dream about phosphatidylcholine tonight. Right? Could you imagine? Sometimes I say, you know, because there's a church near my neighborhood that says, change your thinking, change your life. It's true. Go try, though. Change your thinking, change your life. They're 100% right. What you put in your mind is a lot of what you become. And that is why people go into science and other things, because they've changed their thinking. They want to be in another world. And it's also true for religion. You know, after yesterday's show at night, I looked at a prayer book. I don't really read them a lot. I'm not a religious person. And I said, you know, you look at people who are very religious. You know, they pray from the time they wake up until they go to sleep. They have rituals. They have prayers for the morning, prayers upon awakening, prayers for the morning, prayers for the afternoon, prayers for the evening, prayers upon retiring. And it's a roadmap for them through life. Is it a guarantee? No. But it's more of a guarantee than watching HBO movies, I mean, for example. I would guarantee you that there's more of a chance of sanity and survival following the Bible than following HBO or Showtime. And I follow HBO or Showtime. That's what I'm thinking of getting back into religion again. To be honest with you, I need another dose of religion. I was once very heavily into it. It saved me, and I walked away from God again. And I know that he's really mad at me, but I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried because if another Mistral hits that area, I don't know what's liable to happen. Did you hear about the Mistral? And, you know, I don't want to go into it. The Mistral are the winds, the Mediterranean winds, during which time there are more road accidents and suicides. Yes, just from the change of winds because of negative ions. Would you believe this? It's true. Energy. We want to believe that we are immune. We want to believe that we are immune to the effects of wind or sunlight or the lack of sunlight or the length of a day, but we're not. We're still quite biological. And the day before Robin Williams' suicide, I had reached my limits in that area. I couldn't take the wind one more day. The Mistral that hit Western California was so awful. It was awful. And I wrote something saying, if I stay here one more day, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I have to leave this area. I can't stand it. The winds were so bad. They were bringing such evil spirits, if you want to get into psychic stuff. I felt it. I knew it. And I had to get out of there. Unfortunately, the winds hit the road. You know, I just hit a guy who was a very nice guy, and we went into that yesterday. So, listen, I want to read you some of the comments that people wrote about this article on my website in WND. By the way, no one else posted it. For some reason, you know, isn't it interesting? Think about this. The radio business, the news business is so negative. It thrives on pain and suffering and anger and evil. So now Michael Savage helps caller reject suicide. You'd think, hey, that's a positive note. Nobody linked the article in the media. Would you think about that? Why would the media want to avoid such a positive story? What, that it gives me a modicum of acclaim? I don't need the acclaim. I don't want the acclaim. I really don't care right now. Maybe it will help you. So look what people wrote. Look at this. Michael Savage has proven that behind the tough exterior, he's got a great heart. I know I adored him for a reason. One. Then a guy attacks me by the name of Jose because he's a loser. Then they go into drugs and alcohol, and they say Robin Williams was also addicted to wealth, fame, and power. Now, it came out today, about an hour ago, that his wife said that he was suffering early stages of Parkinson's. I'm sorry to hear that. However, I still don't understand the connection between that and taking one's life. My mother, may she rest in peace, had Parkinson's for the last, I don't know how many years of her life. She lived to 88. She never even considered picking up a kitchen knife. Never. Besides drugs and alcohol, it says it was addicted to wealth, fame, blah, blah, blah. Dangerous combination of psychic knockout, whose high is more profound. It's true. Listen to what Lightning Jack wrote. Besides drugs and alcohol, Robin Williams was also addicted to wealth, fame, and power. A dangerous combination of psyche narcotics whose high is more profound and addictive than material substances. He's right about that. That's right. Wealth, fame, and power. Well, the Buddhists have an interesting thing on that. He who goes about seeking fame and love affairs is like a man who walks in the wind with a candle. Eventually, he will get burned by the candle's flame. The Buddhist wrote that. I remember that one. Didn't stop me from trying to seek anything, but nevertheless. Perhaps Williams couldn't accept the fact that his comedic popularity no longer resonated with his American audience, that potentially lucrative major starring roles were no longer available to the persona characters he played. That's the truth. he was already out of fashion. The Mork job was over, and I don't know why. I mean, then a guy wrote, the Lemon Jello King wrote, Savage basically had similar thoughts to my own. I expressed my anger with people who follow through with suicide early, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if I can read any more of this. I don't know what else to say, but what Michael Savage did is an attribute that God engraved man with, but many men, because of their selfishness, would not demonstrate this attribute. God bless Michael Savage. Well, thank you very much. I can use, and by the way, make a prayer for me, would you? Well, anyone out there who's religious, don't call and say, yeah, I do everything. I don't like when people say I make prayers for you. It gets me creepy. Like an old woman, she says, Michael, I pray for you every day. I say, why? Why? What are you praying for me for? Why? I used to know an Italian guy on Fisherman's Wharf, a little guy, window washer. Mike, I light a candle for you every day in the Catholic Church. That was creepy. Because I think he went to the same church as Nancy Pelosi. Let's see. Do you want to talk about any... I don't know if I can do the news. I don't know if I could do the news. I really don't know if I could do the news. I don't know. Now, Michael Savage's assertion that suicide is an aggressive act that shows no consideration for loved ones left behind has prompted criticism. Why was I criticized for that? Why? Why would the neighbors in that mean little neighborhood, the mean little small people, criticize me for saying that? Why? So someone writes, the reason why Savage would be criticized for saying what is obvious in a larger context is because we live in a narcissistic society, and which came into existence in the first place, marriage, meaning to protect children, has now become about grown-ups and the need for equality. Narcissism is also a factor in some suicides, but maybe not all. And then they go on to the movie It's a Wonderful Life, and the angel Clarence advises Jimmy Stewart not to kill himself. I think Jimmy was going to jump off a bridge. And points out to Jimmy how his absence will hurt so many people. Jimmy decides not to kill himself, but to live and stop the selfishness of the banker. Robin Williams was not fortunate enough to have the counsel of a Clarence. He was alone. Well, that's interesting. I can't judge the next man. I really can't. And I want to just say this. Savage is right in not being a slave to the absurdities of this era and speaking his mind. You know, that's the truth. I'm a free spirit. I'm an unorthodox free spirit, and what I say is what I believe. And I don't understand why anybody would take that as offense. It is an act of aggression. It does hurt those around you. What more do you need to know? What, is that not self-evident? It's the Savage Nation. I could talk about the White House vacation. Why does the media downplay the Ebola threat? Why should the president be at work? Why is the president on vacation while the world is burning? Is there a reason for police departments to have military equipment? Looking at what's going on in St. Louis, the answer is yes. I think they ought to bring out the water cannons and the tank. I mean, what is it? You're going to let the city burn to the ground because you're afraid of confronting a mob? I don't care what the reason is. If a mob is burning and looting, you stop them. Or they'll burn the whole city to the ground. Sorry, end of story. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
So I think as many have observed over the past few days, there's never a perfect time for the president to take some time away with his family, but...
I'm sorry, was I laughing on air? Take some time away with his family. Barack Obama, the family man. That'll be the movie. That could be a musical, Barack Obama, family man. Could you imagine that as a Broadway play? Barack Obama, family man. I really like that. Sort of the Perry Como of our time. Oh, yeah, he's up there to be with Michelle and the kids. They're just hanging out up there, you know, licking ice cream and stuff and having a barbecue. What a crock of garbage. I mean, they must really think they're as stupid as you are. What did I just say? You know, I was looking up the statistics between who commits more suicide, men or women. This is an interesting question. It's something dawned on me. A bulb went off in my head. My feeling was that men... are far more likely to commit suicide than women. Why? Because women can bear more pain than men can. And they're built for it. First of all, they have to put up with us. That's number one. Do I have to tell you what childbirth is all about? Do you want to know what pain is? Pain, childbirth is perhaps one of the most severe. I don't understand why God set it up that way. But by my understanding of it, childbirth is about the most painful act you could imagine. Why does God do that to a woman, that she has to go through that to have a baby? I don't quite get that. All right, but I don't want to go into that. But women can bear it more than men can. So I think that that's something to think about. I'm not saying this has anything to do with this particular subject. And one of the things that's disturbing is the media sugarcoating the act of suicide, quoting a line of Robin Williams in Aladdin saying, "Genie, I'm free." What a bunch of idiots. The family and the loved ones he left behind will never be free from how he was found, or the assistant who found him on the chair there. So he was depressed and sick? I'm sorry to hear it. I'm sorry to hear it, but he made a choice. And we're talking about the choice that he made. And I'm not going to prejudge the choice. I'm just saying for you, because his life's over. See, his life's over. But if we can use this death to save another person, fine. That's why I did it for the last 2 days. And I didn't intend to do this today, I swear to God. As I said, I'd rather talk about adenine triphosphate than this. Is it too late for me to go back to school and get another degree? Maybe I should get another degree. You know, sometimes I think of it, MS, MA, PhD. Now I'd like to get another master's in. You know what I'd study? Would you believe what I would study at my age? Take a guess what I would study and get a master's degree in. If I had the wherewithal to go back to, I wouldn't go back, though, because today with the internet and books, I could learn anything probably 20 times faster on my own and hire a tutor. Neurology. I'd like to study neurology. I'm very interested in the neuroscience, especially how the synapses operate. What goes on between the endings of one nerve and the beginnings of another in that empty space, to me, is as interesting as what goes on outside of our own universe. I'd love to study inner space. Would you believe that? That's what I do every day on the Savage Nation. I study the inner space of people's heads.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, the suicide hotlines are lighting up across America, according to the Drudge Report. And you know, this is serious business now. There's a lot of copycat acts after an important or, let's say, a celebrated person dies, especially by suicide. Drudge Report says suicide hotlines light up, and he just posted, talk radio intervention, Savage helps caller decide not to take own life. So what I want to do for you is, I need to have a good time. I'm a little tense, truthfully. If I'm dreaming in French about studying biochemistry in Paris, and I never did study biochemistry in Paris, the closest I got was to studying anatomy in Montpellier, but that's a story for another day. I'm going to read you something. Bear with me if you will. I know most of my listeners are bipolar and monaural, so we're going to read this without any sound. To be or not to be, that is the question, whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against the sea of troubles and by opposing end them, to die, to sleep no more, and by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to, 'tis a consummation devoutly to be wished. To die, to sleep a chance to dream, ah ha ha, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life. For who would bear the whips and scorns of time, the oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contumely, the pangs of despised love, the law's delay, the insolence of office, and the spurns that patient merit of the unworthy takes, when he himself might his quietus make with a bare needle, who would fardels bear to grunt and sweat under a weary life, but that the dread of something after death, the undiscovered country from whose born no traveler returns, puzzles the will, and makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of? Thus conscience doth make cowards of us all, and thus the native hue of resolution. is sicklied over with the pale cast of thought and enterprises of great pitch and moment. With this regard, their currents turn awry and lose the name of action. That's, of course, the famous Hamlet, to be or not to be, that all of us have heard at one point in our life. But it's from Hamlet, Act 3. It's an interesting one, but if you think it's just today, you're wrong. I love the line in there, would we bear the insolence of office? You hear that? How's that for the IRS? Would you bear the insolence of office? Are you like that one? In other words, back in Shakespeare's time, the people working for Obama, the prototypes of the Obama bureaucrats were already driving Englishmen insane. why am I laughing? Laugh, though your heart is breaking. I really feel like singing today. I wish I could just get up on a dais right now and sing a song rather than do the show. I think I'm going to sing for you, but I won't do it now. I'll sing in my sleep. No, I can't sing now. I don't have a singer's voice. I have a speaker's voice. Two different things. Very good tone for speaking. 855-407-2822. What's that? I'll read some headlines, that's all. The placing of unaccompanied minors with possible MS-13 ties in top gang-plagued cities. Oh! Well, of course that's what they're doing. What else would the Obama administration do but put them with their brethren and their peers? Of course you're going to bring in MS-13 minors and put them with their peers where there are gangs of MS-13 and various other Latin American gangs. You're not going to put them in with Irish gangs. Would you put MS-13 kids from El Salvador and Guatemala, the one who's Nancy Pelosi thinks are all saints, would you put them in places where there are Irish gangs? No, because the Irish gangs are all in Congress. The Irish gangs and Italian gangs and Jewish gangs are in Congress. They're not in the streets. They have worked their way up out of the streets. Now, white tie shirt. Congressman, yes, sir. Senator, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. There was a saying that said he made his fortune the good old American way. You ever hear that one, how that works? Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR. Delano is the maternal family name. Mr. Delano was a drug runner. He ran the ships out of Massachusetts that brought the opium to poison the Chinese for the English. You didn't know that he was a mule, basically a mule. Franklin Delano Roosevelt's maternal father or grandfather was a mule, a drug mule. And look what happened a few generations later. You just wash it. They say every fortune in America is red at first, then it becomes orange, then it becomes white once it's cleansed. It's a great country. I love it. It's not entirely true. Most of the people I know have made it have nothing to do with crime, zero. But it's an easy thing to say when you hate the rich, you know, when you're jealous of people. You say they're all bad. They're not as good as you. When is this thing going to end already in the Middle East? I think Obama said it's over. Can we now go home? Can we now go? Because Obama said it's over. We don't have to pay any attention to it. I'd like to forget the ISIS marching on the world. Okay, I don't want to talk about suicide. Is there no one else calling? Please. I'd rather talk about the allergic effects of dairy than talk about suicide. I'm going to talk about sinusitis and dairy products. What's this Rand Paul, we must demilitarize police? Has Rand Paul shrunken? Has he become the amazing shrinking candidate or what? I'm not commenting on his size. I'm not a particularly tall guy, but what is wrong with him? What is wrong with Rand Paul? Why is he so irrelevant all of a sudden? He had it going for a while, and now he's become smaller and smaller by the day. What is this going on, this thing in Missouri? I knew it was going to burn in August. A few people I speak to knew it was going to happen. They knew August was going to be a hot summer. We talked about it in April. It was going to be a burn baby burn job. We knew it. So there it is in Missouri now. And look who's on the front lines. It's not you, it's the cops. The thin blue line has to deal with the trash in the street there. The trash, it was screaming at their dad. They were somehow hurt. They weren't hurt. If a cop killed this kid, does that justify burning a city to the ground? Yeah, well, I guess if you're Al Sharpton, it does. That's all. You never miss a riot that, you know, took time out from his busy time for General Electric. I heard they sold MSNBC. That's no longer true. They got rid of it. It was a loser to begin with. What is this? I don't even want to talk about that. What else is in the news? Robin Williams was battling. You heard that one? Parkinson's. All right, that's not It's neither here nor there. I think it's kind of odd that you'd knock yourself off because of Parkinson's disease. Battling Parkinson's disease, wife says sobriety was intact when he died. The wife of Robin Williams revealed Thursday that at the time of his death, the late comedian was not only battling depression, anxiety, but the early stages of Parkinson's disease. Which he was not, I don't know, in a statement. All right, a PR agent. Robin's sobriety was intact and he was brave as he struggled with his own battles of depression, anxiety, as well as early stages of Parkinson's disease, which he was not yet ready to share, said Susan Schneider in a statement. All right, that's a PR release. That's a cover job. It's a cover job, that's all. Early stages of Parkinson's is not a reason to commit suicide. First of all, Parkinson's is somewhat controllable today, especially in the early phases. So that, I'm sorry. Robin's sobriety was intact. Well, the coroner will let us know. I hope that that's true. And again, my hat's off to the Marin County Sheriff's Department for giving us a no-holds-barred, honest police report as opposed to the garbage we're used to in this country. Really, I mean, the Marin County Sheriffs are one of the best sheriff's department in the country, by the way. I'm nothing but good things to say about them. And by the way, if you ever catch me speeding on 101, please let me go. 85, no, I'm joking, they don't give ticket. That's the CHP. Again, Robin Williams. Again, that's the front page story for the Post. Not the ISIL, nothing. Oh, look at this. Meet the press to dump Gregory. For Todd, a real choice that is. Todd is like a toad. Look, this guy Gregory was a loser of the highest order, a nobody. This guy Todd is I got to be careful, it's a family show. This guy Todd is basically a media toad. Whatever Obama wants him to say, he says. So what's the difference between him and Gregory on Meet the Pressed? I named it Meet the Pressed years ago. I named it the Huffing and Puffington Post years ago. All copied now. Meet depressed to dump Gregory for Todd. Oh, a real choice. NBC will soon make official that David Gregory's coveted job as host of Meet the Press will be handed over to Chuck Todd. You know what David Gregory always looked like a guy to me? I don't know if it's true. Went to private school. In high school, the girls all liked him. He was like jocular. He looked like a jock, but he really wasn't. It's like underneath the jock, there was nothing. It's like an empty suit, in other words. And that's why he wasn't selling. Chuck Todd, because he has a partial hipster beard, people think he's smart. He has a little goatee. Oh, that makes him smart. Maybe Chuck Todd should have grown a goatee. I mean, what if David Gregory had grown a little a gray goatee? Maybe he'd still have a job. But he could always go to work somewhere else. Maybe get a radio gig, a national syndicated show. What is this? Now another one? Robin Williams fell off the wagon? Wait a minute. The top of the page says that he has Parkinson's. Williams fell off wagon with drink on TV set. Says the Post. When he insisted on having real drinks on the set of The Crazy Ones. Oh, okay, not good. That's not good. So it's two things, a twofer. It's a twofer job. Hit hard when CBS canceled the show, which paid him reported $165,000 an episode. How many episodes do you do a year? I want to see if I should be jealous. How many does he do a year? $165K an episode. How many episodes in a season? Anyone know, Neil? I don't know. I don't follow. 15. All right, so 15 times a deuce. He's making it like $3 million. $3 million a year just on that, on a garbage TV show. What's wrong with that? It's not so bad. I don't get it. I mean, what's the big deal? He signed up to do movies and shows purely out of necessity. He wasn't poor, but the money wasn't rolling in anymore. And life is expensive when you have to pay off two ex-wives and have a family to support. Ah, come on. That's absurd. Now you're blaming the wives? You know what a burden that is on the wife and wives and children? So the ex-wives and the ex-children, wait a minute, when you divorce a woman, are they ex-children or are they still your children? I don't know how that works. They're not ex-children? the ex-wives and children are now guilty that he killed himself because he didn't have the money to support them in the lifestyle to which they become accustomed? Oh, God. As a source told Radar Online, Williams was sleeping around the clock during his final days. His bedroom had blackout curtains. I've had blackout curtains for my whole life. Ask anyone who knows me. The first thing we do when we buy a house is put in double blackout curtains. This is such stupidity. Source told Radar Online that Williams was sleeping almost around the clock during his final days. His bedroom had blackout curtains because Robin didn't want light in his bedroom. Duh. Who wants light in their bedroom when you don't have to get up in the morning and go to an office job? My show starts later in the day. I'm going to get up at dawn. I do get up at dawn, then I go back to sleep. That's what the blackout curtains are for. I get up, I do what men do when they get up, and then instead of jogging or exercising in the gym, I go back to sleep for 2 hours. It works for me. I'd be dead if I got up and exercised. If I got up when the light comes in, see, I leave the curtains open at night because I like the air. I only put down a certain curtain 3/4 of the way, to be specific. And then I have a fan that blows air in. That's I have so many things I need to sleep. That's why I hate to travel. I have so many accoutrements in my bedroom. So it's like a stage set what I have to go through to fall asleep. But I've worked it out. I sleep soundly. I dream I'm in France studying biochemistry, for example. And I study the formulae in French. How does that work? I don't even speak French anymore. 7 years I studied that language. It was a beautiful language. I love the literature. I couldn't relate to Spanish, would you believe? It's not a racial thing. I studied Spanish for 7 years. I hated it. I couldn't relate to it. Something about the tilde got to me. There was something in ñeñendo. I couldn't relate to that ñeñendo, that tilde job with the Castilian Spanish. The literature was pretty good in Spanish. I mean, Quixote, but after you read Quixote, what's there left to read? I'm going to read South American communist poets after that. I didn't like Spanish. In fact, you want to hear something fun? What time is it? Can I get into this now? I'll show you what I did with crises in my life. High school, Spanish, hated it. So one day I spent all day in the park alone, Cunningham Park in Queens, New York. I sat there in the cold by myself by a fireplace. No counselors, no teddy bears, no balloons. I was flunking in Spanish. I hated the language. So I made a decision. I'll drop Spanish and take French. So I took French, so I got like C's. I could relate to French. I don't know why. I couldn't relate to the language, Spanish. I didn't need a counselor to help me. I had to figure it out myself. Have children lost the ability to think things through? Like my father said I should be a doctor, for example, not me, you. So you go to medical school and you'll wind up with hair on your pillow or on your desk. So don't be a doctor. Become something else. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. The gruff Mike now returns. The compassionate Mike is gone for the day. No more suicide calls. We're not taking them. We are not a suicide hotline. I cannot help you. The lines are flooded with people who are troubled and they think I can help them. I cannot. So please call a suicide hotline. Any other topic, I'm not going to deal with it anymore. If this keeps up, I'll just repeat French poetry that I remember from college. Il pleut dans la vie comme il pleut dans mon cœur. You want me to read Mallarmé or whatever? That is a Mallarmé. That was... I don't know which poet that was. Il pleut dans la vie comme il pleut dans mon cœur. I remember I learned that in order to win girlfriends or something. Who knows? There's a way to get intelligent women to like you, was to read sad poetry in the French. All the girls with the black leotards with the long hair liked you. You know, you had a better shot. The girls with the sunglasses and the black leotards who were going nowhere in life. But they were hot, man. Il pleut dans la vie comme il pleut dans mon cœur. I wonder where they are today. I wonder if they outlive the straight girls who marry dentists. I really do. I mean, the women who marry dentists, okay, they did well. They're in Boca. The husband's long gone. Burned out with a heart attack. They got the house. They got the Lexus. But the girls with the leotards, with the hair and the sunglasses in college, where are they today? Did they work out? I wonder where they are. Did life work out for them? You can't look back. I wish you could do a movie on people you remember. 855-407-282. Oh, what call is it? I have 30 seconds. Look at this one. Look at this. Look at this. I have calls on my dreams. I have calls on language. And I can't take them. Because I have suicide calls now. I can't help you. I'm sorry. It's over. The window is closed. I wish I could help everyone out there who's in pain. I can't. Would you please, guys, call a suicide hotline? I don't know what to say to you. What would you like to talk about? Obama? Well, talk about Obama. That's always good. Bashing Obama is a full-time job.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And the moving legs. Now I'll get, now they're all dead, of course. But see, that's the problem. Okay, forget about it. Look, if you're unhappy, you're sad, suicidal, I'm very sorry, don't call the show. No more. Finished. Suicide hotline. 800-273-8255. Don't call me. I'm not doing it. Can't help you. Everything except that. I don't care anymore about the whole deal. It's over. May you rest in peace and let's move on. Here's a little story for you. It's not true that ISIS siege on Yazidis is over, said Waleed Faris, and that the Pentagon is lying. Middle East expert Waleed Faris said Obama and the Pentagon are making it up, that the siege by militant forces against Yazidi refugees stranded on a mountaintop was over. I don't think it's over. What, because Obama took time out from a party? I'm supposed to believe this? Because Thomas Friedman at the New York Times wrote it, it's supposed to be true? I think the whole thing is a lie. I'd like to get an independent source to tell me that the siege is over. Faris received a desperate phone call this week from a Yazidi sheik begging for help. Now, the reason they're begging for help is because your friend, the radical Muslims, are killing them, attacking moderate Muslims, Shia, Christians, Kurds, Yazidis, killing all of them unless they convert to Islam. Don't tell that to Obama, because the siege is over. Ethnic cleansing shouldn't bother him. No, sirree, Bob, that's why he parties in such a multicultural place as Martha's Vineyard. You didn't know that Martha's Vineyard was the most diverse place on the planet. Yeah. I checked it out. It's 99.9% white. But the diversity is within the income level. Those who service the rich are the poor. And those who service the rich are even poorer. So there's tremendous diversity on Martha's Vineyard. That they're all white doesn't mean anything. Millionaires and billionaires, that doesn't mean anything. Because if Obama says he's with the people and down with the folks. Anyway, it's enough with the sarcasm. I could care less. What do you want to talk about here? I'd rather talk about anything except the suicide story. It's enough already. We know what Obama's doing. He's coming back from his partying to grant amnesty to illegal aliens to satisfy the racist group La Raza. In order to placate those who put him in power, which includes the Hollywood, those at the top of the Hollywood pyramid, and La Raza. Philip on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, French had been, I think, the universal language, and chemistry is its own language that is verifiable.
So wait, why would I dream that I'm studying biochemistry in France? Where'd that come from after a show on Robin Williams' suicide?
It's more about the incremental suicide every day that you're on the radio, that people don't get what you're saying. And I think this is in the text.
Thanks for helping me out with that one.
Well, it's better to know what it's about than...
No, I do know. They don't get 99% of what I say. I get it. It's hard.
If they don't get it, it's a language difficulty, but...
It is. But wait. If they don't get it at all, I'd be out of business. So some people are understanding my rambling monologues.
I think it's the rhythm of it and the variety.
You mean they don't even know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's just the scintillating beat.
And oh, so they just like my voice. I could read the phone book and they'd listen.
No, the rhythm, the voice, and the scintillating variety.
But they don't actually know what I'm saying.
No, but they love it because because they don't understand it, but they get the rhythm of it.
So, Philip, I don't know whether to laugh or cry about what you're saying, but thank you. I mean, that's pretty insightful. So what makes Philip of WABC understand me?
14 years of training.
You're a psychiatrist?
Psychologist.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I have a psychologist in my family. It's a pretty rough field.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually hear the pain in my voice, the suffering that I go through every day? Is that what you're saying you hear?
No, I hear the frustration of that and maybe your Weber carburetor.
Now you're starting to speak in code, Philip.
Well, the code that you know, though.
Yeah, I know, because the Webbers preceded the SUs on the Jag. I get it.
Yeah.
So, the Series 1 Jags had Webbers, and they switched to SUs. Why was that?
Because the Webbers were too delicate and imbalanced.
Wow. So what should I do? Should I get rid of my Webbers and start broadcasting it from SUs?
Broadcasting in French and chemistry, the universal languages. See, chemistry is irrefutable. People can't argue if your results are the same over and over. They're replicable and valid.
You know, it's interesting. Linus Pauling wrote that the reason he studied chemistry is because it was the one thing that was irrefutable. He decided to go into the one field where you could either prove what you were saying or not prove what you were saying. And that was chemistry. That's why he studied the essence of all living things, which was the elements. And that's why he found chemistry to be so rewarding, because there was little confusion in that field.
But in the field that you're in, whether it's
the worst murder. It's a daily walk on a suicide hotline, I think.
Because of how incomprehensible you believe what you're saying, which is clear to so many, is unavailable to others or refused by others. So you're looking for that new language down below. The dream come true.
So is it too late for me to go back and study science, or shall I do it as a hobby?
You keep going with what you're doing because you're reaching people clearly, emphatically.
I'm trying my best. You know, it's interesting, Philip. You're listening to me in New York City. You're taking time out from your day. And I have to ask you, what is it that you... I mean, usually professionals don't listen to radio. They're making a living during the day. So why would you listen to this radio show?
This is fascinating. It's entertaining, it's informative, and it's...
What, to see a mind deteriorating, a fine mind like mine deteriorating slowly over the years? Is that something that you find entertaining? Come on, I'm just pulling your leg.
I'm not pulling yours, I'm telling you the truth. This is fabulous entertainment and highly informational.
Do you think that my mind has deteriorated over the years that you listened to me, or gotten sharper?
Sharper.
It has. How many years have you been listening to this show, Philip?
More incisive. 3 years.
All right. No, truthfully, I found that the older I get, the faster I get at this, and my mind operates at a quicker speed.
Mm-hmm. And that's what...
You know, I was once in the Alzheimer's research area. I spent a lot of time in it. I'm not a world's expert, but I studied it sufficient to learn a few things. And one thing that I discovered was that the data shows that people who keep their mind very active are less likely to suffer cognitive disorders.
Yes, and it has to do with complexity as well. Just how complex your thinking, your reading, your writing is.
How does an average man retire? What the heck does he do with himself? I mean, there's a guy in my neighborhood retired 20 years ago. He's never worked a day in his life. All he does is weed every day in his lawn. 20 years, he's outside with a weeding tool. I don't understand that. I fear for his wife. You know, I don't know what's going to happen one day.
A mentor.
How could a man spend his entire life on a lawn with a weeding tool?
A mentor of mine who was my psychologist said, when I asked him what he's doing to keep busy in his retirement in Tiburon, he says he's reading Terence and Plautus, of course.
Who? He's reading what?
Latin poetry.
Oh, my God. In Tiburon, they let him read Latin? They haven't called 911? Gee, I'd like to know who that guy is. I didn't think anyone could read anything in Tiburon other than the protocols of the liberal elders of the San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
So, in other words, your advice to me, doctor, would be keep on doing what I'm doing just to keep myself sane.
And keep your pace and keep the intensity going.
Wow.
Never retire, because you retire.
Oh, I'm retired right now. If I ever retired, I wouldn't last too long.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to shift from belts to suspenders if I retired. I'm sorry.
Getting a message to yourself if you retired.
No, I'm joking. But the thing is, look, it's nothing to laugh about. The thing is, it's a very sad thing. It hits us all. And my way of dealing with it is a little different than others. I cope in various strange ways. And one of them is I have a very bleak sense of humor. I have a dark sense of humor. I have a gallows sense of humor. I also have a sarcastic sense of humor, a sardonic sense of humor. And I think that humor is the key to it all. I think humor will keep us alive longer than anything. Wouldn't you agree, Philip? I mean, it's the hardest thing on earth to maintain in a humorless world. But, you know, humor is the king. It really is. What are your main, mainly your patients in Manhattan suffer from what? Ennui? Boredom?
I'm not in Manhattan, but I see people from Manhattan. I'm in the lost state of New Jersey.
And what? Oh, New Jersey, they suffer what? Loss of municipal contracts for waste dumps?
Suffers from problems in everyday living. And
did you ever watch The Sopranos? Remember that character went to a therapist?
Yes.
Was that semi-accurate the way Tony Soprano and she related? I mean, in your mind, was it fairly well done?
Not really. I know it was given praise, but it isn't, for at least one branch of the therapy, was not terribly realistic.
I know, because the newspaper said it was so well done that therapists are watching it to learn how to become a therapist. I thought that was ridiculous.
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not. I mean, Tony sort of walked over the line a few times. Philip, thank you so much, Dr. Philip, for being with me on the Savage Nation. So here is a man who understands how I suffer every day for your sins. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Do you think I'm getting too esoteric in the radio business? Am I losing audience because I don't talk about the Constitution? Every day I don't beat you to death over the Constitution and the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers. Oh, no, I want to refer back to Ronald Reagan and the Founding Fathers. I don't know why anyone would listen to this anymore. How could you take it? Should I be less esoteric and more isotonic, I'm asking myself. I mean, I know we've gone from the Gilded Age to the Gelded Age in one generation. Okay, that's one thing. These are good throwaway lines. They're like one-liners, like Henny Youngman job. You know, listen, we talked about this before. The Ukraine, you can't say the. Ukraine's a country. It's not like the Russia. I was corrected on that once by a listener. It's not the Ukraine. It's Ukraine, not the Ukraine. It's not like the America. The Biden and Kerry cartel to benefit personally from civil war in Ukraine. This was a monologue we did on the Savage Nation on the 14th of May, 2014. I just found it in the garbage. I'm in a studio I have not used in 5 months, and it was in a stack of papers I was about to throw out. And I kept, and the monologue said, the billion-dollar question is, why does the United States have an interest in Ukraine? And then we went into the history of it, and so we came up with Hunter Biden is a well-known New York attorney with deep ties to various lobbying groups. He was appointed to work with the Clinton machine in the U.S. Department of Commerce. Hunter Biden was the Obama campaign money bundler. He helped get his dad, the senior Biden, elected. Did you know that Hunter Biden is related in some way to an oil company in Ukraine? Did you know that? You didn't know any of this. Didn't make it to the Old York Times? Roger Friedman didn't find it, whatever his name. I can't remember his name. But Hunter Biden has joined the board of a Ukrainian gas producer controlled by a former top security energy official for deposed President Viktor Yanukovych. According to the Wall Street Journal, Joe Biden's son and a close friend of Secretary of State John Kerry's stepson, see, that's the ketchup connection. If I were to do an expose, we'd call the ketchup papers, have joined the board of a Ukrainian gas producer. Does that bother you? Do you think the U.S. and the EU have kicked up a civil war in Ukraine? Largely over money. Well, yeah, it'd be the first time in history that it was over money, right? First time in history that nations went to war over money. What do they fight over? Land, which is money. Resources, which is money. Generally, it's over money. So that's what it's all about. All right, any topic is fair game on the Savage Nation. We're back to politics. Again, I want to say we are no longer doing suicide. I'm sorry if I cannot help you. I cannot. I am not a suicide prevention counselor. I don't mean to imply that I have been. I never have been, and I can't help you. Call a suicide hotline, 800-273-8255. We're taking only political or local questions. It's that simple. WBAP in Texas. Ken, welcome to the Savage Nation from BAP Land. What's on your mind?
Okay, a fellow by the name of Howard Gardner proposed this theory some years ago. Multiple intelligences. You can look it up. Howard Gardner, theory of multiple intelligences. One of them is linguistic. Some people assimilate language with greater facility than others do.
Mm-hmm.
Had I learned this in high school, it would have opened my eyes and I would have pursued a different career. But anyway, well, as it was, I pursued the career that I was naturally predisposed to, and that was language, okay? I joined
This is a very important call. So you're a linguistic expert?
No, sir, I'm not. I graduated with a bachelor's degree, and I taught high school English for a couple of years. But I worked...
Ken, I'd love you to stay on the line. I want to talk about language. It's something we never get a chance to talk about in talk radio yet. The entire business is about language, isn't it? I think it is. I hope he's still there. I hope we didn't lose him already. I hope he wasn't called back to another galaxy to discuss the new language of the galaxy.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Jokers to the right, here I am. Clowns to the left of me, and jokers to the right.
Stuck in the middle.
That's what talk radio hosts really are, if they're good. I mean, we take positions, but at the end of the day, we're still stuck in the middle, no matter what we may think. I mean, we may think that we're leading some kind of great revolution, but most of us aren't. We're just faking it. I mean, if we were leading a revolution, we wouldn't be on the radio, would we? We'd be leading the revolution. That's the problem with talk radio. So I gave up a long time ago thinking I was some kind of political leader. I'm not. I'm a talk radio host. I don't do bullhorns in front of city halls. Let's go back to Ken on WBAP. Ken, welcome. So you say that in addition to language, there are eight other types of intelligence. What are they?
From memory, I can't just spin them off for you, but I can give you a few examples. Music, okay? You can think of musical geniuses all around you.
No, but listen, Ken, the easiest thing is just name the other intelligences, and then we'll discuss them, please.
Music, bodily kinesthetic, Michael Jordan, right? Okay, intrapersonal. There's an intrapersonal intelligence that has to do with, I would say you must be, interpersonal, logical mathematical, which I don't do well at, okay? And then there's linguistic, which I do well at, and obviously you do well at as well.
What about sexual intelligence? And I'm not being facetious. Wouldn't that be an intelligence as well?
I don't find that, unless you could subcategorize that under interpersonal. An interpersonal...
Wait. No, you named one that was something to do with bodily. So you said kinesthetics. Wouldn't that be sexual?
Greg Louganis, the amazing, you know, ballerina's figure.
I understand, but where would the sexual intelligence fall?
Sexual intelligence would fall under, if anything, interpersonal skill, because...
I think it's a combination of language, dance, interpersonal. I mean, I think it combines everything, sexuality between humans.
That's true. But
I'm saying this not to be facetious. I mean, we should not ignore that as a form of intelligence.
No, I agree. There are some people who reproduce very well.
I didn't say reproduce. I said sexuality, not reproduction. All right. Hey, thanks for that enlightenment. I'll look into that tonight. I mean, I don't know which one. I mean, I would hope that there's a culinary intelligence. I wish there was a culinary intelligence. There has to be. The ability to taste foods, that has to be a sort of intelligence. No, think about a chef. They're not like you and I. A really fine chef has a fine sense of taste and a finer sense of smell than we do, you would think. It's an amazingly complicated intelligence to be a good chef. You shouldn't underestimate it. You know what I just got in the mail? You're never going to believe it in my email during the break. Are you ready for this one? Remember last week I got off on a tangent and I went off for 40 minutes on Between Heaven and Hell, a Non-Magical Mystery Tour, and people were blown away. Some said, what the heck is he talking about? And I was trying to show you. I don't know what I was trying to do. Heaven and Hell, Non-Magical Mystery Tour. And a young man called and said, you took me on a trip, an LSD trip, without taking drugs. You remember that show? Raise your hands if you remember that show. I just got the typescript of it. I want to read you some stuff from it, and I want you to see how political it becomes. You ready? Play the song again, Stuck in the Middle, and I'll start Heaven and Hell, Non-Magical Mystery Tour, from my own script. Listen, just play it. That's all. Hello, Robert. Hit the button already. Can we do without the hand clapping? Okay. All right, turn it off. I'm not in the mood. It's throwing me off. Okay, I am trapped between things, so many different things, politically, emotionally, just trapped. I'm stuck in the middle between heaven and you know where. Yep, clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. I'm not exactly... I don't want to miss a word. I missed it already. I am stuck in the middle between heaven and you know where. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. I'm not exactly the man in the middle, but I am in a way, like all men, somewhere between heaven and the other place. And every day I wake up and say, how do I get to the other place without crossing the river? I mean, that's really life itself when you think about it. We all want to get to this place called heaven. We don't want to go to the other place. How do we get to heaven without crossing the river? That's the question. So many of us try visionary experiences with drugs. We try mescaline, LSD, allegedly drugs that take us to heaven, but often the streets are littered with the exact opposite. If you look at the streets of Berkeley, California, you will find people wandering around blowing bubbles who are leftovers from the LSD years of the 1960s. They tried to achieve visionary experiences with LSD and mescaline, and they wound up in the gutter. Then you look at religions. If you look at the great paintings of history, you will see visions of heaven, visionary heaven. Fairylands, folklore, religion are all about heaven, aren't they? Our dream for a new government in America, which will allegedly give us relief from the hell that this man has put us in, is really just another dream. We want that light. We want that unnatural intensity of coloring. We want that unnatural significance of the golden age. We want the golden age. That's what we want. We want a shining to come down to us. We want significant light to shine down upon us, to come down out of the skies, out of the landscape, to bring beauty to us. In other words, so this is not new to our time. And then I write, shall I go on? If you go back to the ancient traditions, that's only page one, I'll read it to you. If you go back to ancient times, in every religion, every tradition, you find this dream of the Garden of Eden. The Greek or Roman tradition, you find the Garden of the Hesperides, the Elysian Plain, the fair island of Luke to which Achilles was translated. I may mispronounce some of these places, but I know what I'm talking about. I have an amazing education and an amazing memory. So forgive me for slipping into this in the midst of this pragmatic talk show about the situation we are in the world is in right now. But really what it comes down to is how do we get away from hell and go back to heaven? The relative heaven of this world before the Cyclops took over the White House. It's like a Cyclops took over the White House. But every time in every place, people were dreaming of this light-filled paradise, of islands. We all love islands. I don't. I've spent too many years in them to know that they're not paradise. Not paradise at all. In fact, if you live on an island long enough, you realize it's a prison. See, most of the things that we dream are heavenly turn out to be prisons at the end of the day. But that's a philosophical viewpoint. And I'm not really going somewhere with this, with a specific conclusion about vote for Mac Jones or anything like that. I'm just kind of talking because it's August at the Hotel Savage. But we're talking about this magic that we all want, these magical, lovely islands in the folklore of America. But they exist in the ancient Celts and the Japanese. Wherever you go, there's always this magical land. The other world of the Hindus, the land that we read about in the Ramayana, which is, quote, watered by lakes and with golden lotuses. Rivers, beautiful rivers, blessed by the morning sun, adorned by golden beds of red lotus. Wherever you go, whatever the language, whatever the civilization, whatever the people, whatever the society, the same characteristics appear, common to virtually all of the religions and all of the peoples except one. Listen carefully. A dream of paradise without killing. Not a dream of raping virgins in the next world, but a paradise on this earth. A paradise that most people can understand. And unless you have a philosophical understanding of the enemy, you're never going to defeat them. Unfortunately, the people in the military who have a philosophical understanding of the enemy have been rooted out by Mr. Hussein Obama. Mr. Hussein Obama and his minions have thrown everyone out of the military who know exactly what the enemy thinks and exactly what the enemy is about and exactly the vulnerabilities of the enemy. They've all been rooted out of the military and out of the intelligence agencies. And so you see my little discussion here at the opening of this show on this insignificant day is not so insignificant after all, is it? Now, that was August 11th, 2014, and what's somewhat interesting to me is that came a week before a news story came out yesterday that the head of the CIA, Mr. Brennan, misinterpreted Islam and misinterpreted ISIS completely. So when the psychologist called in the last hour and said he understands what I do and my frustrations, I guess I had to read this for him. You understand? So that's it. That's it. I don't want to read any more. It's two pages of 13, and that's out of a straight-out monologue that I did, I swear, on the natch, right out of my head on the Savage Nation. I did this 13-page written-page monologue, 13 typewritten pages, on the Savage Nation for you, and it probably was lost to most of the listeners. So I'm not putting you down. I'm not trying to say, oh, boy, if you're only smarter, you'd understand me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that there are parts of me and parts of my mind that need to be exercised once in a while, and I hope that it reaches you. I try to make larger points in different ways, and I try to reach a different audience by doing so. It doesn't mean I can't do the meatloaf and potatoes show. I can. 855-400-7. I don't even know the number. I've lost the what number? I don't even know my number. Forget about it. We don't need any more calls. I forget about it. I'll call the hotline instead when the show is over. Joel on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I practically destroyed my career due to the fact that, first and foremost, I was born, you know, when I was born, I was speaking four, five, six languages, right? Yeah. Because I was sort of mixed up with so many different, you know, ethnicities and all that. And then that causes confusion as you grow up. And then getting involved in two fields, music and languages. I'll never, ever get myself involved in debt if I were to come back, you know. Now, I wish God would give us all, you know, an opportunity to first come to this world and decide what we want to do, and then come back again. Now, I would become a dermatologist, you know?
That's interesting. Now, how did you decide that if you could do it all over again, you'd be a dermatologist?
Mike, languages, it's all repetitive. You learn 100 words, you forget 1,000. You know, it's constant practice.
No, that goes along with my statement that I was speaking to an arborist yesterday because I have trees in trouble at one of my properties. And he said that he looked at my dog, Teddy, who's so intelligent, and I said, man, this dog is smart. And he said, well, an ethologist who was studying chimpanzees found out the dogs have a higher vocabulary than chimpanzees do. I said, that's not unusual. I can understand that. I said, my dog has a larger vocabulary than the average rap star. I said, I mean, how many different ways can you conjugate the F word? He got a kick out of that, and I think he was a liberal.
And that's true. Animals understand instinctively. We have to do by learning other languages, you know. They understand universal.
No, I'm not an animal. Of course we have to do it by understanding. I don't want to have to understand it by my guts.
Yeah, but Mike.
But Joel, listen, we understand people. I met a man who's a neuroscience scientist, and he told me when he and I ran into each other on a walk, we liked each other within a millisecond. I said, why do we like each other within a millisecond? He said, well, it's been studied. Through facial recognition and other factors, we can tell within a millisecond whether we like that person or not. And I said to the doctor, what is that based on? And he said, it's based upon a fast computer in your mind and also on past experiences. It turns out he looked like a favorite uncle of mine, for example. I'm giving you an example of why we like some people and we don't like others. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And the voice of the person is very important, too, especially vis-a-vis animals. Animals pick up psychologically.
All right, wait, this is interesting. So my voice has a certain tone to it. It has a certain ring to it, has a certain something to it. Why does my voice appeal to so many people?
Animals generally like women's voices better, dogs and cats and all that. So with dogs...
But you're not answering my question. Why does my audience like my voice?
Because you got a fantastic vocabulary, that's number one. Due to the fact that you're not getting yourself confused by virtue of learning other languages, which only would deter you from your...
I'm not studying any other languages anymore. I gave it up a long time ago. I did that in high school and college. No, don't get me wrong. I'm saying I dreamed in French last night that I was in Paris studying biochemistry, and I could not understand that given the subject matter of the last shows for the last 2 days on suicide. Why was I dreaming in French? I don't understand it, but look, let's not go into it. Dr. Freud, are you there? 147 on the West Coast. That means it's 447. I can't even do math. That's three. It's 447 on. He's got crisis in Iraq. Obama says ISIS siege broken. We all know that's a lie. We all know it's a lie. Anything he says after dancing the night away. Have you seen it? Please go to the Drudge Report, because I don't know if that picture's still up. There it is, dancing the world away. There he is, getting down. There's Obama dancing the night away while the world is burning. And look at how happy the people are in that room. Isn't that amazing? You know, it really is nice to be a man that can detach so completely. But then again, He has so many problems. Isn't he entitled to dance the night away? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Obama is allegedly going to, with a stroke of a pen, become an immediate dictator and destroy the country. He's going to grant amnesty to millions of illegal aliens. He knows it's illegal. He knows what the executive action permits, and he knows that he's not allowed to make law. But he and his devious henchmen at the Justice Department are going to make up law that is illegal. And they know that this will be overturned years from now in the Supreme Court, and they also know that it will be a moot point. And that there'll be no way to ever find all the sneaks that he let into the country under the guise of compassion. It's all about building a larger voting bloc. It's all about diminishing the power of the Caucasian race in the United States of America. And nobody dares say that, but we all know what it is. It's a war against the dominant majority in America, because he knows that most of them are onto him and don't buy his act. And why should you buy the man's act? After all, he's only a man. He's a man like you, and he's a man like me. That means he's not perfect. He's imperfect. Nobody is an entirely whole person. And what I'm trying to tell you is that he's just a man. And as such, he's an imperfect man. So why do we empower a single man with so much power? Is he superhuman? Is Obama a superhuman? Do you think that Obama is better or more superior mentally and spiritually than almost all the men in this country? Is he a superhuman? Of course he isn't. He isn't. He's imperfect. He's an average man. Maybe a little smarter than the average intelligent man, but just a man. In fact, in a way, he admitted that he was an average man. He said, if you give me this office, my fears, doubts, insecurities, foibles, need for help, need for sleep, family life, vacations, and leisure will be gone. Well, that was nice to hear then, but he doesn't tell you anymore that he has fears, doubts, and insecurities and foibles, because he is now the dictator-in-chief. Now, why do we entrust one man to be a king who makes believe he has no fears, no doubts, no insecurities, no foibles? Did Obama become some kind of god who is superior to all of us? Does he know more than I do, or that a truck driver in America may know about the damage that illegal aliens will do to this country if they are automatically given citizenship? I didn't vote for this clown.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation, hour number three. Police chief rips Obama. Headline, Drudge Report, right now. Police chief rips Obama, saying, quote, discussing tactics from Martha's Vineyard, not helpful. Of course it's not helpful. But he's got a party to attend tonight. Why should he go to Missouri? And then he's gone back to Washington to satisfy La Haza and grant amnesty to millions of illegal aliens. And that's what La Haza wants. Dancing the world away. Mystery. Obama returning to D.C. this weekend. If you go down the middle of the middle column on the Drudge Report, you'll see a very important story. Suicide hotlines light up, and beneath that is talk radio intervention. Savage helps caller decide not to take his own life. And I'm only mentioning it again because if you go to the article, you can click on the help button, and at the end of the week, I'll announce how much you've given, and we'll take it down, and we'll send it to Joe. It's that simple. It's a one-off. I'm not doing it again. 855-400-7282. Any topic except suicide and Robin Williams. It's over. No more. I am not a suicide interventionist. Kevin on WABC in New York, what's your topic, please?
Uncle Mike, I just wanted to call to say you've been talking about a lot lately. Keep up what you're doing. Don't change a thing. Combining politics with realistic entertainment such as Teddy, Meatballs, and Growing Up in New York City is the way to keep an audience and a well-rounded and diverse audience. And I'm going to give you an example, Dr. Savage. I'm a 41-year-old Iraq vet from Queens, New York. My mother's a 70-year-old Irish immigrant. She listens to you. And then the last caller, I think he was from South Asia. We're not.
What's the why am I hearing like a beeping? You got a dial tone?
Not that.
Sounds like call waiting. Are they calling you from the hospital now? What's going on? There's a beeping like a call, a call waiting job. You know, I love to hear that your mother's a listener and then you're a listener. It's great to hear that I have intergenerational family listenerships.
Don't ever get Magic Jack.
What is that? It's a certain call waiting system or what?
Nah, Magic Jack, you buy it at the store, you get it. It's a cheap phone service. You get it through the internet.
I don't even drink Jack. I wouldn't even touch Jack Daniels, let alone Magic Jack. Thank you for the call. What is this? Democrats abandoned fundraiser in chief. He's finished. The only constituency Obama has is in Guatemala and Mexico. Think about it. I told you he campaigned for Neil Abercrombie, right? I was the only one who picked up on that story. Neil Abercrombie got smashed in the primaries in his own party, even though Obama cut radio and TV ads for him. Democrats are abandoning Obama. The only people who like him live outside the country, including those in the New York Times who may as well live outside the country. David Gregory bids a sudden farewell to NBC's Meet the Press. Didn't he do that a long time ago? Iraqi Prime Minister Al-Malarki stepping down for Al-Abadi, another Alibaba, I have to remember. It's like a whole new vocabulary. Alibaba's leaving and Ali Shmaba's coming in. IRS let unauthorized contractors see taxpayers' private information. No kidding. Rick Perry tells National Guard keep immigrant drug dealers from spreading their tentacles. Good for you. Platoon mates critical of Bergdahl can't get a book deal. Did you hear this? The platoon mates who know what Bergdahl really was cannot get a book deal. You hear this? Wow. What else is in the news? U.S. says Yazidis wary of arming Kurdish fighters in northern Iraq. Okay. I don't even understand why. I thought the Kurds were good now. Aren't the Kurds our friends now? I mean, now the Kurds are our friends. There was a time they weren't. They were very warlike people. And then they were pushed into that corner of Kurdistan, but now we're arming the Kurds. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? Obama sends 130 ground troops to Iraq to assist trapped Yazidis. Okay. Second shooting rocks St. Louis as soldier-like police swarm streets. What, do you want them not to wear body armor? I love all the idiots are saying, oh, how dare they be militarized? You want the cop, who is also a human being, to go amongst those maniacs and risk getting killed? Of course they should have body armor. Moron. I don't understand people, how stupid they can be. Oh, we don't want our police militarized. Well, why don't you strap on a uniform and go out there and talk to those maniacs in the streets? You go talk to them with guns going off. See, you don't understand what it's like to be a policeman. I do. I have police in my family. I have a psychologist in my family. I understand things you may not understand. You don't know what it's like to come home at night to a family and a child. And in the morning, you have to put your life on the line again because of the psychotics out there. They want to wear body armor? Good for them. They should. We live in a war zone. After Obama took control of the nation, it became another war zone. It's like Iraq down there in Missouri right now because of this president of ours. 855-407-282. I'm not taking any pot calls. I let the potheads leave me alone. Let them blow their brains out with pot. I don't care. They may as well be committing Harry Carey by smoking marijuana. They're melting their brain down. It's a suicidal drug. Marijuana is a suicide mission. It rots your brain. What else is in the news? Russian bombers penetrated U.S. airspace. We heard that. That's old. Who cares? I hope they bring the good beluga next time. Russian bombers penetrated U.S. airspace at least 16 times in the past 10, whatever. I hope they drop beluga. I mean, if Obama could send food and water to those trapped in a mountaintop in Iraq, can't the Russians at least drop some beluga caviar as a peace message or something? I don't even like caviar. It's too salty. It's too rich in cholesterol. It's fish eggs. Disgusting when you think about it. Why do they make such a big deal of it? Oh, caviar. You ever eat caviar? It's so salty. It's full of cholesterol. What is the big deal about it? What's the rush? You go to a fancy place, there's caviar. Caviar. I like the red caviar from Oregon. The fish in Oregon produce a red egg. The salmon caviar. Why do you have to get a Russian from a polluted lake or a polluted river? A Russian Tu-95 Bear H flies over international waters off the coast of Norway. Four Russian strategic bombers triggered U.S. air defense systems near Alaska this week, with two more coming within 50 miles of the California coast. Well, that's Obama. It's Nancy Pelosi. It's Hillary Clinton. They're trying to provoke a war. Keep putting down Putin. Keep attacking him. What do you want him to do, roll over? I mean, the man is a judo expert. He's not a little wimp dancing away the night in Martha's Vineyard. He reacts a little differently than the community organizer might to a provocation. Instead of giving a scolding speech and what they ought to be doing, he just acts. That's all. I love Kerry's speech the other day. That young boy holding that head up over there in Iraq, that's terrible stuff. That young boy ought to be playing in school with his classmates. That was very helpful. I mean, you should have said, you mean that Muslim boy, that Islamist boy, and his psychotic Islamo-fascist father? But he didn't say that. That's the world we live in. That's the world that we live in, and that's the problem, because we live in a crazy world where you can't say the truth. I guess unless you're in talk radio, even then it's like walking on a thin line. It is a thin line. One wrong word and you're out of business. We have no net on this show. So it's really amazing. You're supposed to be honest. You're supposed to speak your mind. But if you speak it a little too clearly, it's the noose. That's all. What a way to live. I enjoy it. I like living on the edge. I enjoy walking on the thin line. I always have, I guess. I guess if I were another type of personality, I would have been a trapeze artist. Let's see. What kind of callers do we have? Anything good? Ernie on KSFO in San Francisco. What's on your mind, Ernie?
Hey, boss. Keep it esoteric because we are living in an esoteric agenda.
Thank God. As long as it's not about Robin Williams, I can't wait to hear your call.
I got enough of that. The thing I want to say is I brought up the title. It's that oranges and apples. It's called the Mini Gaza in Ferguson, Missouri.
Why is Ferguson a mini Gaza? Who are the Gazans?
Well, I'm watching people peacefully. It was just to get attention to it. It's not really comparing. It's oranges and apples. You got people with their arms up, and we got ladies with red dots on their chest and backs. This is insane. You know,
what do you mean? The police are putting laser dots on them with their guns?
Yeah, red dots on their chests, their backs, and then they went after Al Jazeera. Broke their camel. They shot Sergeant Joe Biggs, who works for InfoWars, in the side with a rubber bullet. And they went after the cameras. They wanted to stop. They literally said, you don't have the right to assemble. And then a little lady's voice came on, please turn off your cameras. 30-second later, the flashbang.
Well, let's analyze this rationally. We all want freedom of the press, but we know that the press acts as an agent provocateur for violent people. You know that. I mean, let's ask ourselves the question. You're not allowed to yell fire in a crowded theater, are you? Are you allowed then to agitate a crowd by showing images of violence? Usually that provokes more violence. And you know what the vermin in the media are doing? They want to see things burn. They want to see people shot so they can get an exclusive for their filthy cameras to placate the audience. It's the same thing that we've been talking about for 3 days. So there is an argument to be made to drive the press away from this. They're only making things worse, not better. I mean, think about that.
But also with the press, you got to look at it. I'm 53. When we were younger, there was 85 corporations or different people that owned media. It's six corporations.
What kind of press do we have in this country? That you call a press? That they let Obama get away with anything he wants? But because a city is burning, they go to, and now all of a sudden they're all freedom fighters?
It's the best propaganda. Media is the best propaganda out there. And you
Well, I have mixed feelings about this free press business. What are they covering, this free press? They haven't stopped covering Robin Williams' suicide instead of the suicide of the nation. Obama gives the big lie that the people were rescued when we hear it's not true. Why don't they go do their jobs instead of trying to agitate more violence? 855-400-7282 is the phone number. It's the Savage Nation. The time is 17 minutes and 12 seconds after the hour. I'll take a caller or two right now. Alabama, Larry, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Larry?
Comment on your police thing that these police officers have to go out into the street and combat this. And I have to take opposition to that because they don't have to take that job. They could be a plumber. They could be a, as I am, an air conditioning guy. They could be all kinds of different things. They choose to take that risk. And the number one thing that they do when they go out is they should preserve liberty. And if that means that they lay their life down as they do it, such as our soldiers do, then we honor them as heroes.
You mean they should sacrifice their life? See, it's a different... Look, let's back up for a minute. We don't have to disagree to discuss this issue. America today is a very violent nation. You have animals in the streets with guns who never should be armed. And you want a cop to go out there without body armor and risk his life talking to them?
No, sir. We as citizens, freedom is not free. We should arm ourselves and protect ourselves. We can't rely our safety on police officers.
Many of us do arm ourselves precisely to protect ourselves, not from the police, but from the animals who shouldn't have guns.
As our corrupt...
All right, so now you've got the police going out into an incendiary situation that is getting out of control. What do you want the police to do? Get killed because you want freedom of the press? I would say there comes a time when the press must be curtailed from a scene because the press is not making it better. The press is making it worse. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is the one and only Savage Nation. So Obama's going to come back for a secret reason to the White House. We fear that we know what he's going to do. He's going to become an extrajudicial dictator. And with the stroke of a twisted pen, grant amnesty to illegal aliens, violating not only his oath of office, not only the Constitution, but what executive orders permit. So I went and researched something. Someone sent this to me on San Francisco State University, Raza Studies. I want you to listen to what this department teaches our children in a public university. Raza Studies, College of Ethnic Studies, Department of Latino Studies, Professors Alma Guerra, Cordova, Cuellar, Maria Rivera, Associate Professors Caio, Duncan Andrade, Garcia Mirabel, Assistant Professors Martinez and Reyes. Now you'll notice that all of the names are Hispanic in origin. Why are there no Caucasian people teaching Raza Studies? I mean, there are people of Hispanic background teaching English, for example. Why are there no people of, you see what I'm saying? Okay, program scope. Raza Studies, first of all, the word Raza means race. You understand how deeply offensive this is. Raza Studies is a unique liberal arts BA degree program with an emphasis on equity, social justice, and community empowerment. What does that mean? What do you mean community empowerment? Why, to go out and riot like in Missouri? Our programs offer an opportunity. Notice how they've learned how to write it as though it's an actual course. An opportunity to study within a multidisciplinary framework of knowledge, to develop critical thinking skills, analytical and writing skills, and an area of expertise centered on Latinos in California and the United States. The major prepares students for graduate and professional schools, for a wide range of public and private sector employment, and for a lifetime of community commitment and involvement. Now listen to this. Listen to how they build up the rubbish. The Raza Studies curriculum is critical, analytical, holistic, and cutting edge. If this person was my student, I would fail him and send him back to high school, whoever wrote this brochure. I love the word cutting edge. You know, no one has used the word cutting edge for about 30 years now. Students choose an integrated series of major or minor required and elective courses focused on Latinos in the United States. Raza Studies curriculum favors a pan-Latino and comparative approach grounded in the U.S. but sometimes following a trajectory back to Latin American countries of origin and the indigenous cultures and histories connected to Latino diaspora communities. What a long sentence that one is. The institutional experiences, social and national identities, cultural expressions and resistance movements of Chicano, Mexican, Central and South American, Caribbean American communities in the U.S. are centrally addressed. We emphasize gender, transnational identities, global economies, social movements, and literatures of resistance across the curriculum. Ladies and gentlemen, this is unadulterated Marxism, and this is passing for a legitimate course of study at San Francisco State University and across America. I warn you that if Obama grants amnesty to illegal aliens, the country will go up in flames. We do not want that. Everyone must say no.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I think as many have observed over the past few days, there's never a perfect time for the president to take some time away with his family, but...
I'm sorry, was I laughing on air? Take some time away with his family. Barack Obama, the family man. That'll be the movie. That could be a musical. Barack Obama, Family Man. Could you imagine that as a Broadway play? Barack Obama, Family Man. I really like that. Sort of the Perry Como of our time. Oh, yeah, he's up there to be with Michelle and the kids. They're just hanging out up there, you know, licking ice cream and stuff and having a barbecue. What a crock of garbage. I mean, they must really think they're as stupid as you are. What did I just say? You know, I was looking up the statistics between who commits more suicide, men or women. This is an interesting question. It's something dawned on me. A bulb went off in my head. My feeling was is that men are far more likely to commit suicide than women. Why? Because women can bear more pain than men can. And they're built for it. First of all, they have to put up with us. That's number one. Do I have to tell you what childbirth is all about? You want to know what pain is? Pain, childbirth is perhaps one of the most severe. I don't understand why God set it up that way. But by my understanding of it, childbirth is about the most painful act you could imagine. Why does God do that to a woman, that she has to go through that to have a baby? I don't quite get that. All right, but I don't want to go into that. But women can bear it more than men can. So I think that that's something to think about. I'm not saying this has anything to do with this particular subject. And one of the things that's disturbing is the media sugarcoating the act of suicide, quoting a line of Robin Williams in Aladdin saying, "Genie, I'm free." What a bunch of idiots. The family and the loved ones he left behind will never be free from how he was found, or the assistant who found him on the chair there. So he was depressed and sick? I'm sorry to hear it. I'm sorry to hear it, but he made a choice, and we're talking about the choice that he made. And I'm not going to prejudge the choice. I'm just saying for you, because his life's over. See, his life's over. But if we can use this death to save another person, fine. That's why I did it for the last 2 days. And I didn't intend to do this today, I swear to God. As I said, I'd rather talk about adenine triphosphate than this. Is it too late for me to go back to school and get another degree? Maybe I should get another degree. You know, sometimes I think of it, MS, MA, PhD. Now I'd like to get another master's in. If I had the wherewithal to go back to, I wouldn't go back, though, because today with the internet and books, I could learn anything probably 20 times faster on my own. I am trapped between things, so many different things, politically, emotionally. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Yes, I'm not exactly the man in the middle in that regard. But I am, in a way, like all men, somewhere between heaven and the other place. And every day I wake up and say, how do I get to the other place without crossing the river? I mean, that's really life itself when you think about it. We all want to get to that other, to this place called heaven, rather. We don't want to go to the other place. How do we get to heaven without crossing the river? That's the question. So many of us try visionary experiences with drugs. We try mescaline, LSD. Allegedly drugs that take us to heaven, but often the streets are littered with the exact opposite. If you look at Berkeley, California, you see people wandering around blowing bubbles that were left over from the 1960s. They tried to achieve visionary experiences with LSD and mescaline, and they wound up in the gutter. But if you look at religions, if you look at the great paintings of history, you will see visions of heaven. Visionary heaven. Fairylands, folklore, religion are all about heaven, aren't they? our dream for a new government in America, which will allegedly give us relief from the hell that this man has put us in, is just another dream. We want that light. We want that unnatural intensity of coloring. We want that unnatural significance of the golden age. We want the golden age. That's what we want. We want a shining to come down to us. We want significant light to shine down upon us, to come down out of the skies, out of the landscape, to bring beauty to us, in other words. So this is not new to our time. If you go back to the ancient traditions, every religion, every tradition, you find this dream of the Garden of Eden. The Greco-Roman tradition, you find the Garden of the Hesperides, the Elysian Plain, the fair island of Luke, to which Achilles was translated. Now, I may mispronounce some of these places, but I know what I'm talking about. I have an amazing education and an amazing memory. Forgive me for slipping into this in the midst of this pragmatic talk about the situation that we are in and the world is in right now. But really what it comes down to is, how do we get away from hell and go back to heaven, the relative heaven of this world before the Cyclops took over the White House? It's like a Cyclops took over the White House. But every time and in every place, people were dreaming of this light-filled paradise. Islands. We all love islands. I don't. I've spent too many years in them to know that they're not paradise. Not paradise at all. In fact, if you live on an island long enough, you realize it's a prison. See, most of the things that we dream are heavenly turn out to be prisons at the end of the day. But that's a philosophical statement. And I'm not really going somewhere with this with a specific conclusion about vote for, you know, Mac Jones or anything like that. I'm just kind of talking because it's August at the Hotel Savage. But we're talking about this magic that we all want, these magical, lovely islands in the folklore of America. But they exist in the ancient Celts and the Japanese. Wherever you go, there's always this magical land, the other world of the Hindus, the land that we read about in the Ramayana, which is watered by lakes and with golden lotuses. Rivers, beautiful rivers, blessed by the morning sun, adorned by golden beds of red lotus. Wherever you go, whatever the language, whatever the civilization, whatever the people, whatever the society, the same characteristics appear. Common to virtually all of the religions and all of the peoples, except one. A dream of paradise without killing. Not a dream of raping virgins in the next world, but a paradise on this earth. A paradise that most people can understand. And unless you have a philosophical understanding of the enemy, you're never going to defeat them. Unfortunately, the people in the military who have a philosophical understanding of the enemy have been rooted out by Mr. Hussein Obama. Mr. Hussein Obama and his minions have thrown everyone out of the military who know exactly what the enemy thinks and exactly what the enemy is about and exactly what the enemy, the vulnerabilities of the enemy, rather. They've all been rooted out of the military and out of the intelligence agencies. And so you see my little discussion here is not so insignificant after all, is it? But I'm just talking is all I'm doing. I have no power whatsoever. Influence, maybe. I don't know. I doubt it. I have no influence. Think of all the community organizers. Think of those funded by George Soros. Think of all of the brain trusts in the media. They have the influence, not me. Take a look at the average cow walking around in America. Cows would have more sense, more common sense. A cow that hears his neighbor cow dying in a slaughterhouse would have more sense than the average American on vacation. Walking around bloated, 300 pounds, 350 pounds, varicose veins bursting in their legs, blue veins in their arms as they lick the ice cream cones, devouring everything edible and inedible in sight. Click, click. Picture, picture. Click, click. Go up the hill, go down the hill. Have we got that yet? Let's go to the art museum. Take a picture of every picture. We got that. We saw that. We saw this. We saw that. Let's devour that. Let's devour this. Click, click. Take that. Varicose veins bursting in their legs. Click, click. Clack, clack. Clackety clack. Don't talk back. I've had a little fun here on the Savage Nation. I really like talking about heaven and you know where, the other place, and how all of us dream of this heaven
And it goes back to the ancient worlds, Greek, Roman, Celts, Teutons. Everybody believes of this wondrous world and these paradises that we all want, the New Jerusalem. We all want the New Jerusalem, don't we? Don't we all want the New Jerusalem? You find them in the literature of Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam. And why? What are they all looking for? And by the way, that was classical Islam before it was distorted by Wahhabi Islam. What we're facing now is the curse of Wahhabism, which is a new form of Islam, the most virulent form ever invented. Because there was a time that Islam was relatively peaceful. It was not always like this. There were times in history when Islam got along with its neighbors. But not anymore. Not anymore. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. This is the Savage Nation, where a ridiculously complicated world is made ridiculously simple. The president is dancing the nights away in Martha's Vineyard while we are at war with radical Islam, while the media is downplaying the Ebola threat, and there's a riot going on that doesn't seem to want to end in Missouri. There's no questions to be made. There's no answers to this question. The world is burning, and he's dancing the night away. And he's returning to D.C. this weekend for a mystery meeting. But if you take a look at the president dancing the night away and who's associating with him at the dinner party, you might retch. The secret picture taken by a reporter will make you retch when you see who's in the crowd. Just look carefully. Now you'll know who's running the Western world. Tax revenues hit a record through July. $2 trillion, rather. Not enough, though. Nope. No siree, Bob. Rand Paul says we must demilitarize the police. You know, Rand, you are so irrelevant. You are so irrelevant. 855-407-282 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. And it's a holy Thursday on the Savage Nation. We are not talking about Robin Williams' death today. No. Ferguson protesters lash out at Obama and Sharpton. You haven't changed nothing, they're screaming. Sharpton already is seen for what he is, even by the rioters. That's pretty interesting. Savage helped a caller reject suicide. Take a look at it on MichaelSavage.com. My blunt talk bore fruit after neighbor Robin Williams' death. Great article on my site on WorldNet Daily, picked up by no one else because of the jealousy in the media. The most important story associated with Robin Williams' suicide has been ignored by all the sites because of jealousy and the fact that would show the others in the business to be what they really are. Illegal children are swarming school registration centers. ISIS, that's the Islamofascist recruiting center, is now at central London. China has denounced pet dogs as filthy Western imports. A Palestinian leader says that a pro-Hamas rally, all of them, in fact, are fake. He said most Gazans he speak to hate Hamas with a passion. 900 French jihadi are in Iraq and Syria. Why are they allowed back in? Why not shoot them at the airport? FBI says black hate group in Missouri town promoting violence against police. Then why don't they do something about it? Why doesn't the FBI focus on the black hate group instead of returning white military veterans? Swing voters likely would hate Obama's amnesty, according to every poll. We have other things going on in the world, such as Waleed Faris saying ISIS is coming to America.
It's absolutely here. Who is ISIS? Who are the recruits of ISIS, both in the Middle East and here at home? These are the jihadist pools that served first Al-Qaeda. And because of that success of ISIS on the ground, seizing one-third of Iraq, one-third of Syria, forming the nucleus of the caliphate, and we see branches of Al-Qaeda around the region now coming and joining ISIS. So this is going to replicate here and in Europe.
No, they're here already. The Pentagon's finally saying we've been very clear about the threat posed by ISIS, even though they all failed us.
We've been very clear about the threat posed by ISIL, and we've been very consistent about that threat in the region and in Iraq.
They were busy worrying about sexual harassment in the military, not about Islamist harassment.
The Pentagon admits that the U.S. airstrikes are unlikely to affect ISIL's overall capabilities. Listen to this now.
U.S. airstrikes in northern Iraq have slowed ISIL's operational tempo and temporarily disrupted their advances toward the province of Erbil. However, these strikes are unlikely to affect ISIL's overall capabilities or its operations in other areas of Iraq and Syria.
Don't forget this one. Who is Ron Fournier? I don't even know who he is. Why is he so important?
The fact of the matter is, anybody who's looked at this as an independent nature will tell you that we could have convinced, the United States could have convinced Maliki to give us the authority we needed. The president didn't want to have troops there. And, you know, to his credit, he promised the American people, elect me and I'll pull troops out. This one now is trying to blame the prime minister, trying to blame Maliki. And I find it kind of disingenuous, first of all, to say, well, it's not my decision. You're the president of the United States, sir. It's your decision.
Let's go to the next one. In St. Louis, black youth are rioting in the name of civil rights. And a St. Louis activist, no doubt a white communist, says we must thank the looters for the wake-up call.
And we, in some way, have to thank them for giving us a wake-up call. But now that we have the wake-up call, we must mobilize and go into our neighborhoods and offer them a sense of hope and a sense of purpose.
So you know who's behind it, right? And finally, not to be outdone, is Governor Moonbeam saying affluent families are not producing children, and that's why we need illegal aliens in America. Isn't that interesting?
In California, out of 6 million students, 2 million are designated English language learners, and that means extra money for that school, as well as for low-income families. And that's about half the students in California. It's pretty amazing. I don't know what the affluent families are doing. They're not producing or something, because the schools, half the kids in the schools are from low-income families. So, you know, what can I say? There it is.
Thank you, Jerry. These stories are all on michaelsavage.com. And if you've missed my interview with Dr. Cohen on Russia and America's Ebola response madness, the facilities for illegals and who owns them, my great audio on theocracy meets autocracy, my audio on immigrants and epidemics, my audio on ethnic replacement of whites, my audio on Savage at the MLK Jr. Memorial, my article on Muslim sisterhood running the White House, or the picture of Teddy, my dog, and the picture of my old car, which is again in the shop. It's a one-stop shop on michaelsavage.com. Thanks for listening, and God bless America. Savage.